healthy families and good nutrition on the web at MetLife.org.
WCVE Public Radio HD. Jeff Shapiro joins us now from the Richmond Times-Dispatch for his weekly analysis of the Virginia political news this week. Good morning, Jeff.
Hi, Wayne. A real Alden Arrow frost on the pumpkin morning.
Yeah. Well, budget worries are facing state lawmakers and the governor. An austere budget, apparently, is in store for the Old Dominion.
Of course, we've been hearing a lot about this more recently from the governor. A lot of his happy talk surplus chatter giving way to some grim realities, increased joblessness, for example, and its implications downrange. Now it's the legislature's turn. This week, the House Appropriations Committee and the Senate Finance Committee held their post-election retreats. The Senate committee is still meeting up in Fairfax. The House committee met out in Stanton earlier in the week. If they agree on anything, there's going to be a hole in the budget, the hole in the next budget, the Bob McDonald legacy budget. And it's going to be at least $1 billion, though there are projections that are considerably higher, approaching $2 billion. And it's clear in this fortified Republican legislature that it's going to be, that hole is going to be filled with cuts. Now, even with these Republican majorities, I put an asterisk next to the one in the Senate, there could be very different approaches as to how and where these cuts are made. For example, the House Appropriations Committee has done nothing to conceal its hostility toward public education. Another possible source of the reductions might be this commission that Bob McDonald put together. It met this week. It's looking at ways to cut the size of the scope and the cost of state government. But there's even some pushback on that. A proposed merger of the parks and game departments have the hook and fin set somewhat upset.
Well, both parties in the General Assembly have elected new party leadership this week as a result of the election returns earlier this month.
Yeah, Tommy Norman, who had been the Republican leader, Republican floor leader, is now the Senate, or will be the Senate majority leader, again with an asterisk. We're talking about a 2020 Senate. Republicans claim they have a majority with that tiebreaker from Lieutenant Governor Bill Bowling. I think there was something very interesting that the governor did that may have generated very little notice in congratulating Tommy Norman on his ascent. The governor never uses the word majority to describe the Republican caucus in the Senate. He does say that it is time to govern, but of course, maybe this speaks to the silence on that issue of majority. How? There are questions, of course, about the limits of the lieutenant governor's tie-breaking powers. Apparently don't apply to the budget and to judges. But what's going to happen, for example, with committees? It looks like the Republicans are going to be doing what Democrats didn't do when the Senate was last tied, and then when the Senate Democrats took it back in 08, and that starts throwing members of the other party off of committees so that, in this case, there would be Republican majorities on, say, education and health, which handles all that abortion legislation, and commerce and labor, the big business-oriented committee.
Lieutenant Governor Bowling's role as the potential tiebreaker in the Senate is going to put him in the spotlight more so during the upcoming General Assembly session. And he's expected to run for governor in 2013. Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli has been hinting that he might run for the gubernatorial nomination. So how's all this shaping up between those two?
Yeah, a lot of preening this week by both. Now Bowling refers to the McDonald Bowling administration, clearly trying to strengthen his hand as the governor's perceived heir apparent. By the way, some of these issues about tie-breaking powers are going to be challenged, perhaps by the expected new number two in the Senate Democratic Caucus, Donald McEachin, the Henrico senator. Ken Cuccinelli circulated his political newsletter earlier this week, and started, feeding the rumor mill, saying there's a lot of talk out there that the senior member of the Senate, Chuck Hogan, a Democrat from Prince William, is going to quit. He's the Finance Committee chairman now, and that Republicans have to be on their guard because if he quits during a presidential election year, there'll be a big turnout, and that would assure Democrats' chances of holding that seat. Then, of course, on the Democratic side, the bench looks very thin. Terry McAuliffe is clearly testing the waters again, seems likely to run for governor again in 13. And one always hears Democrats pining for Mark Warner to give up that Senate seat in Washington to stand for governor again.
We have just a minute, and we need to turn now to the Super Committee in Washington and the positions of two prominent Virginia congressional members, Eric Cantor, of course, the House Majority Leader, and Senator Mark Warner on the Democratic side.
This time, Eric Cantor is remarkably quiet about the business of deficit reduction. He isn't saying anything publicly about the possibility that the Republicans might favor additional tax revenues, tax increases, about $300 billion worth. Of course, this is something for which Cantor would have to answer. Is it a tax increase? Mm-hmm. Would it be a violation of that anti-tax pledge that so many Republicans say? Cantor's clearly on the spot and trying to keep a low profile.
Right.
Republicans, particularly the majority leader, took a lot of heat because of the episode last summer.
We have to end it there. Thanks, Jeff Shapiro.
You bet.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne. The political controversy over the collapse of Solyndra has not diminished. That solar panel maker got a $500 million loan through a